All right, our section today is the, as you can see, it's a statement of the faith forming our basis of fellowship. And Brother Bob had gone over this a few weeks ago, but we'll go through it again. This is the foundation. That the book currently known as the Bible, consisting of the scriptures of Moses, the prophets, and the apostles, is the only source of knowledge concerning God and his purposes at present, extant or available in the earth. And that the same were wholly given by inspiration of God and the writers, and are consequently without error in all parts of them, except such as may be due to errors of transcription or translation. Now, today we're going to cover 15 of the 30 sections, and there are lots of references, but I've only selected a few. This is in Libronix if anyone wants to find to get all the references, or you can ask later on. I can get you some. Okay. So in relationship to the foundation, the first reference is 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And 1 Corinthians 2:13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Spirit teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And Hebrews 1:1, God who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. And 2 Peter 1:21, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And the last one in this section is 1 Corinthians 14:37. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. So this all ties in with the explanation about the foundation. And it's the only source of knowledge concerning God and his purposes at present. All right. Moving on to this section is called The Truth to be Received. And that the only true God is he who was revealed to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob by angelic visitation and vision, and to Moses at the flaming bush, unconsumed, and at Sinai, and who manifested himself in the Lord Jesus Christ as the supreme self-existent deity, the one Father dwelling in unapproachable light, yet everywhere present by his Spirit, which is a unity with his person in heaven. He hath out of his own underived energy created heaven and earth and all that in them is. And our first reference, now this one has at least 30 references tied with it, but we're just doing a select few. Isaiah 46:9, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me. And declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. Oops, where do I go back? Okay, now Deuteronomy 6:1-4. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which Yahweh your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it. That thou mightest fear Yahweh thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's son, and all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as Yahweh, God of thy fathers, hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, Yahweh our God is one Yahweh. Psalm 124 and 8, our help is in the name of Yahweh, who made heaven and earth. In Psalm 146, verse 6, which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever. So again, these are all proofs for this section. Psalm 148 and 5, let them praise the name of Yahweh, for he commanded, and they were created. In Isaiah 26 and 4, trust ye in Yahweh forever, for in Yahweh, Yahweh is everlasting strength. Get that off of there. In Isaiah 40 and 26, lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. And 1 Timothy 6 and 15, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. In 1 Timothy 1, 17, now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. And the next section, point number 2, that Jesus of Nazareth was the Son of God, begotten of the Virgin Mary by the Holy Spirit without the intervention of man, and afterwards anointed with the same Spirit without measure at his baptism. So these are truths that are to be received, this whole section we're covering. Matthew 1 and 28, 23, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Acts 2 and 22, you men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you, by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Galatians 4 and 4. When the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Matthew 3, 16 and 17. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Couple more on this section. John 6 and 26. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. All right, on to point number 3. I don't think there'll be any questions or anything. We're just going to go through this, but if somebody has any comments. Point number 3, that the appearance of Jesus of Nazareth on the earth was necessitated by the position and state into which the human race had been brought by the circumstances connected with the first man. So this all reverts back to Adam. 1 Corinthians 15 and 21. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Genesis 3 and 19. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. 2 Corinthians 5 and 19, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead that you be reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. All right, on to point number 4. That the first man was Adam, whom God created out of the dust of the ground as a living soul, or natural body of life, very good in kind and condition, and placed him under a law through which the continuance of life was contingent on obedience. First reference, Genesis 2 and 7, and Yahweh Elohim formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. 1 Corinthians 15, 46 through 49. Howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Genesis 2 and 17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Okay. Moving on to point 5. That Adam broke this law and was adjudged unworthy of immortality, and sentenced to return to the ground from whence he was taken, a sentence which defiled and became a physical law of his being, and was transmitted to all his posterity. All right, this is a long reference here. Genesis 3, 15 through 23. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and then shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow shalt thou bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. And in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for thou out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. We're going to see a lot of references that are going to be showing up time after time in each section. And Yahweh Elohim said, behold, the man is come, become as one of us, to know good and evil, and now, lest he put forth his hand, and take also the tree of life, and eat and live forever. Therefore Yahweh Elohim sent him forth from the Garden of Eden, to till the ground from whence he was taken. Romans 7, 18 through 23. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. This is a very well-known reference. For the good that I would, I do not. For the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more that I would do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Galatians 5. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Okay, so that part about Adam breaking the law and the judgment, or how he was judged at that point. Point number six, that God in his kindness conceived a plan of restoration which, without setting aside his just and necessary law of sin and death, should ultimately rescue the race from destruction and people the earth with sinless immortals. Okay, our first reference, Revelation 21 and 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Everyone should know this one. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? John 3 and 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And Titus 1 and 2, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Romans 3 and 26, to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. John 1 and 29, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Moving on to point number 7. That he inaugurated this plan by making promises to Adam, Abraham, and David, and afterwards elaborated it in greater detail through the prophets. And again, we're going to see a lot of repeats. Genesis 3:15, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Genesis 21 and 18, arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation. And Psalm 89:34-37, my covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. Once I have sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever as the moon and as a faithful witness in heaven. Jeremiah 23 and 5. Behold, the days come, saith Yahweh, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. Okay, moving on to point number 8. That these promises had reference to Jesus Christ, who was to be raised up in the condemned line of Abraham and David, and who, though wearing their condemned nature, was to obtain a title to resurrection by perfect obedience, and by dying, abrogate the law of condemnation for himself and all who should believe and obey him. First Corinthians 15 and 45, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Hebrews 2:14-16. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. In John 5, 21, 22, 26, and 27. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Ephesians 1, 9 and 10. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Moving right along. It's going faster than I thought. Point number 9, that it was this mission that necessitated the miraculous begettal of Christ, of a human mother, enabling him to bear our condemnation, and at the same time to be a sinless bearer thereof, and therefore one who could rise after suffering the death required by the righteousness of God. Matthew 1, 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived is of the Holy Spirit. This is kind of tying in what we heard this morning. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. In Isaiah 7 and 14, Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. I know going through this, these are all things that we know, but this just fortifies these sections. Hebrews 2, 14 through 17. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. All right, point number 10. That being so begotten of God and inhabited and used by God through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, Jesus was Emmanuel, God with us, God manifest in the flesh, yet was during his natural life of the like nature with mortal man, being made of a woman, of the house and lineage of David, and therefore a sufferer in the days of his flesh, from all the effects that came by Adam's transgression, including the death that passed upon all men, which he shared by partaking of their physical nature. Hebrews 2 and 14 we see, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. Galatians 4 and 4, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. And Hebrews 2 and 17, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of his people, of the people. Okay. Section 11, that the message he delivered from God to his kinsmen, the Jews, was a call to repentance from every evil work. Yes, the assertion of his divine sonship and Jewish kingship, and the proclamation of the glad tidings that God would restore their kingdom through him and accomplish all things written in the prophets. This is Jesus' message. Mark 1 and 15, and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, and believe the gospel. Matthew 4 and 17, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John 10, then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. Luke 13, but he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. And they shall come from the east, and from the west, and from the north, and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. Luke 24, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you, while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. All right, section 12, or point number 12, that for delivering this message, he was put to death by the Jews and Romans, who were, however, but instruments in the hands of God, for the doing of that which he had determined before to be done, the condemnation of sin in the flesh, through the offering of the body of Jesus once for all, as a propitiation to declare the righteousness of God, as a basis for the remission of sins. All who approach God through this crucified but risen representative of Adam's disobedient race are forgiven. Therefore, by a figure, his blood cleanseth from sin. See the references pertaining to that. Luke 19 and 47, and he taught daily in the temple, but the chief priests and the scribes and the chief of the people sought to destroy him. In Acts 10, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, who they slew and hanged on a tree. Hebrews 10, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Galatians 3. Is the law then against the promises of God? Far be it. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Galatians 4. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And, of course, Matthew 26, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. All right, point number 13, that on the third day God raised him from the dead and exalted him to the heavens as priestly mediator between God and man, in the process of gathering from among them a people who should be saved by the belief and obedience of the truth. 1 Corinthians 15, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. This is proving this out. In Acts 10, him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. In Acts 2, 24 through 27, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. And point number 14, that he is a priest over his own house only, and does not intercede for the world, or for professors who are abandoned to disobedience, that he makes intercession for his erring brethren, if they confess and forsake their sins. Hebrews 4, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Proverbs 28, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. And point number 15, that he sent forth apostles to proclaim salvation through him as the only name given under heaven whereby men may be saved. Acts 1, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Power, or the power of the Holy Spirit coming upon you. Matthew 28, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Acts 4, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And that's it for today.